Hello and welcome to the Healthy Pregnancy Revolution. I'm here today with Liliana Quintero, founder of Wild Lily Organics, a conscious, organic, and sustainable personal care brand offering sacred beauty rituals through ancient holistic alternatives to health and beauty. After 15 years of working in the beauty industry as a licensed esthetician, Lily had followed her heart into the world of healing, spirituality, holistic traditions, and sacred women traditions. She now works one-on-one and has developed online and in-person workshops. Lily's work is in helping women to nourish their wild divine feminine essence through self-love, self-discovery, and self-empowerment. Hi, Lily. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to dive into this and discuss what that all means and the work that you're doing with women. I'll just jump right into my first question for you. How can we heal the feminine wounds that we have through facial reflexology? I know that's your expertise, and revive those parts of us that have been suppressed.
Yes. Thank you for this question, because it's something that I've, you know, gone through a long, long journey of discovering, you know, the importance of reconnecting with this, you know, suppressed part of myself, which is my feminine essence and divine feminine essence, especially. And I feel that, you know, through facial reflexology, I was able to find that, because when I started my course, my teacher recommended I start with the female reproductive system. Out of all the systems that, you know, we could have started with, you know, she navigated me through the female reproductive system, because at the time I was experiencing hormonal imbalances. I was experiencing large breasts, tenderness and soreness to the point where, like, I couldn't hug my daughter. They were enlarged. They were, you know, they doubled in size. It was excruciating pain for 6 months. And so working with that system, I really dove into it. And for 21 days, I followed a protocol. And within like 2 weeks, my pain was gone. And, you know, after the 21-day protocol, my breasts went back to their normal size. And it led me to start appreciating this part of my body, my female reproductive system, and what it is. Like, I never really knew too much about it. Like, I wasn't taught how to take care of it. I wasn't taught how to nourish, how to honor myself in that way, or with that part of myself. It was very, like, shamed and suppressed. And we don't talk about sexuality. We don't talk about the female reproductive system. And we're not going to talk about your vulva and your womb and your breast. So I was very disconnected from these parts of my body, which ultimately were the most powerful healing parts. And so I went on this self-discovery journey that led me to discover womb you know, studies and wisdom. And I started to heal myself. I started to realize, oh my God, like, I had completely been disconnected from this part of my body. And I felt so much shame around my sexuality, my sensuality. I was taught that it was wrong. It was sinful. You're a whore. You're a slut. If you feel any kind of pleasure, it's only for men. You know, all the stories that I was taught, right? Growing up. And when I started to really love myself and love these parts of my body, I realized, you know, I get emotional because I really truly did not love myself, and I didn't understand why. And it wasn't until I went deep into my womb that I was like, oh, it's here that I have not loved this aspect of myself, my divine feminine essence, which is very sensual. It's very erotic. It's this erotic innocence that there's no shame around. It's not a shameful thing to feel around your sensuality and your femininity.
How important is it, do you believe, that women remove these blockages in their womb through the techniques that you teach before conception?
Oh, I'm a mother now of a daughter. She's 13-year-old. And I feel that if I would have prepared myself, I don't think we're ever prepared for motherhood, right?
Right.
Truly prepared, honestly. Every day is a new endeavor. Every day is a new surprise. You know, she's now 13 and she talks about things that I'm like, oh, I'm not nearly prepared for this. but here we go. We're just going to wing it. But now knowing the information that I do now and having the awareness and the consciousness about the womb and my sexuality and all of that, those traumas get passed down into your children. Mm-hmm. And so if you can do the work prior, it's going to make, I'm not saying it's going to make motherhood easier, because motherhood is not meant to be easy. It's for warriors. I'll tell you that. It's not for the faint-hearted, but it will make your child's life much easier. Mm. And it will make motherhood a lot more enjoyable, because there was another blockage. You know, there's so many blockages around motherhood. And for me, you know, like loving this part of myself, it's all connected, right? So if I have a disconnection, or if I'm suppressing this part of myself, which is my most, again, most powerful magical part that I believe a woman has, which is her womb, her sensuality. You know, this is how we reproduce life. This is where life is formed. So if we can make that space the most loving, comfortable, clear vessel for that soul to come in, I truly feel that it's just going to be a much more, you're going to have a deeper connection with your child as well. Because you've done the work, and they're going to feel it. It's so bizarre. Like I could feel everything, you know, when my daughter was in my belly, I could feel everything that she was feeling. And still to this day, if she's feeling down, I'm feeling down. Mm-hmm. And so we're really truly connected to our offspring. And mm-hmm. So imagine if we were to remove any blockages and heal and really have that self-acceptance and that self-love, like, your child will feel the same.
Mm-hmm. I've heard it said that even though we walk past the mirror and we don't look at ourselves and say, oh gosh, you look so fat, or you look so this, it doesn't matter if you say it or not, your little girl senses it. And that's exactly what you're touching on, I feel like.
Yeah.
She still picks up on that energy, even it without the words coming out. Like, we really have to learn to love ourselves to pass that on.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, even how you speak to others when they're around and you think that they're not listening when they're 3, 5, 6 years old.
Right.
They're listening. Mm-hmm. They're paying attention. They are your mirror.
Mm-hmm. Can women heal from the physical trauma of either a previous, you know, labor trauma or an abortion, miscarriages? Can we heal from that trauma through the work that you're doing as well?
You know, when it comes to like deeper traumas like that, I don't like to say I'm the expert for that, but I do believe that with facial reflexology and the work that I do with helping women reconnect with their womb space and loving themselves unconditionally through different practices of self-love and self-care, mm-hmm. I definitely feel that it will create a ripple effect for you to do the deeper work that's needed. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It's all part of the process. Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's like facial reflexology. I'm not going to say it was the one thing that healed me, or mm-hmm. the one thing that healed my, you know, sexual trauma that I had, or not loving myself, or liberating me from feeling shame around my sexuality, but it definitely created a ripple effect.
Mm-hmm. It makes complete sense. I understand.
Yeah.
How can we connect better? How can we get in touch with that divine feminine? And why is it so important before conceiving?
Yes. Oh, again, this knowledge prior to having a child. So the way I see it is that your divine feminine essence is a part of you. And because it's been suppressed for God knows how many thousands of years. Mm-hmm. We also carry, you know, ancestral trauma, and women in our lineage that were suppressed and that were not allowed to be feminine, you know, be a woman, and what it is to be a woman. You know, I didn't have this teaching. I really didn't. Right. My mother taught me very little. You know, when I was 14, she had to leave to Colombia. And that is when a woman starts to learn about her womanhood. That's when she gets her period and she's learning mm-hmm. about sexuality. And I think that the universe, God, had like took me out of this support system that I should have had mm-hmm. to realize the importance of it than to talk about it. And I feel that when you are connected to your divine feminine essence, you're more intuitive, you are more resourceful, you are wiser, you have more self-confidence, you have more self-assurance. Like there isn't, you have an inner knowing that this is a part of you, not disconnected from it. And I think that women really are more, how do I say this? They're more magical, they're more powerful, they're more, that to me is true beauty, is the woman really truly knowing that she has this divine essence, this aspect of herself that is divine. And so, you know, that's why I also got into facilitating red tents, because I feel that we need to do practices that strengthen our divine feminine essence, right? It's important. Yeah, it's great to talk about it, but like, how do we put it into work, into tangible results? And I feel like that's one of the most powerful ways, is to make sure that you have a community that is being in your divine feminine essence, is being in community, being in sisterhood, supporting each other, you know, having self-compassion, having unconditional love for yourself and others, having discernment. Like divine feminine essence is not just this like, oh, I'm pretty, look at me, and you know, so, you know, it's divine. And it's way deeper than that. It's a deep work, and one that I'm really honored to partake in, into my, for myself, that I'm glad that I found this knowledge, this wisdom, and that I have the teachers that I have in my life that have guided me to help me in reconnecting with this part of myself. But I find it very, very important for especially mothers, or, you know, soon to be mothers, to be in touch with this aspect of themselves so that they can navigate motherhood in a much more wise, conscious way.
Mm-hmm. What is it? How would you tell a woman if she said she did want to connect with that divine feminine in her and she didn't understand it was anything more than putting on jewelry and feeling pretty? How would you explain that to her? How would you explain for her to find that, connect with that?
There's many ways that I would tell her that it would be to connect. But one of the most, again, I go back to these sacred beauty rituals and facial reflexology, because mm-hmm. it takes you inward, and it takes you, it's a presence that you have to be in. Like, you have to be present when you're doing it. It's a grounding practice, and it really does take you inward. And I would say, like, one of the most beautiful ways is to start to honor yourself, taking care of yourself, honoring your moon cycles, you know, mm-hmm. when you're on your menstrual cycle, when you're not on your menstrual cycle, what you can eat, what's more beneficial for you not to eat, or what kind of activities to do around each phase of your menstrual cycle, mm-hmm. you know, and how to navigate through those flows that we go through, those ebbs and flows as women, because we're not the same 24/7. We're not the same throughout the whole month. You know, when we are in our mood, we're the most easily triggered and sensitive and intuitive as well. We're the most wise. So it's a time where you need to retreat and honor those phases, you know, and we're taught to always be on this go, 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 and be always this, you know, all like powerful goddess. And we're not always. And I think that connecting with that part of your body, your menstrual cycle, is a powerful way to connect with your feminine. And then also like doing practices that are honoring the feminine. You know, we weren't given these tools or these teachings, and it suppresses the feminine, right? And by you suppressing the feminine, you also suppress your own inner masculine energies, which is like taking action and having, you know, trust and being stable and having structure. And mm-hmm. by not honoring our feminine, we're also not honoring our masculine. So mm-hmm. it takes like this internal wholeness and balance of creating that yin and yang, right? Like having those both polarities and balance and honoring both, but it not suppressing your masculine and not suppressing your feminine. That to me is also important. So yeah, feminine practices like dancing, you know, yeah, like going to get your nails done, or getting together with a group of women and getting, you know, doing crafts and arts and creating, painting, anything that gets you that creative flow, mm-hmm. it's going to get you in touch with your feminine essence.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely love that. And I think at first glance, oftentimes we look at what you're teaching, facial reflexology, and the regimens that you're saying that we just have a self-care regimen, and that that's so much more than just eliminating fine lines and wrinkles, that it goes deeper, that we need to make that into the ritual of connecting to ourselves in a deeper way. And that's how we connect with it.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We are so creative. We are.
We truly are.
Our womb, where we're actually creating a baby, we could bring so much else into the world when we're really connected.
Oh my God. Yes. And you get into that creative energy, which is sexual energy, is creative energy. You know, how do you create a baby is through sex.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's another thing, that you don't necessarily, you need to use that sexual energy to conceive or to have a child or to mate or to have sex with a partner or for just, you know, pleasure, or superficial pleasure, right? But you can use that energy towards your arts, towards your business, towards yourself. Like, you want this healing, you know, sexual energy is very healing energy. So self-pleasure is another great way to connect with your feminine essence.
Mm-hmm. You touched on your mother leaving when you were 14. And I know you have a 13-year-old, as you mentioned. At what age, and how can we share this with our daughters so that they aren't growing up, as you first said, not being allowed to talk about our vulva and anything that's connecting us to our sexual body? How do you approach that? And what age? And it's kind of a personal question, but
yeah, you don't mind. No, not at all. I mean, every child's going to be different. Every circumstance is different. It just depends on the child's emotional maturity, maybe what they've been exposed to. Like, my daughter, unfortunately, she was exposed to porn at an age that I wish she had not been. And
a lot of mothers or parents of children that age could probably relate to that now, unfortunately.
Yes, it's just everywhere. You know, it was on her Netflix children's account where she had access to it. So it's just like, you know, we try to protect our children as much as we can. Mm-hmm. But some things are just inevitable, and we just have to then navigate in that moment. Like, that's why I talked about recently, I'm taking improv classes, and it's really teaching me that life is an improv. You are always being thrown unexpected circumstances, and you just have to improvise, right? The certain situation. So, you know, with my daughter, because she was exposed to porn at a much earlier age, I did have to have that talk when she was 8 about sex and what it is and what's healthy and what's not healthy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't go too deep into it, you know, depending again on the age, the emotional maturity, what they've been exposed to. But now that she's getting older and she's having more awareness on, you know, what's happening, her brain is developing, she's able to understand some things, and they're talking about boys and they're in her age group and whatnot, and boyfriends and relationships. And, you know, I just really try to let her know, like, it's important for her to know what love is, what sex is, what is it for, why do you have sex, what is sexual energy, you know. And I know that right now some of the things she's like, Mom, you're crazy, and she's just like, I don't want to talk about this. But I know that in the long run, she's gonna thank me.
I couldn't agree more.
Because she's not going to feel weird if a boy talks about sex. Mm-hmm. You know, she's going to be in a place of this power, right? Knowledge is power.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
So the more knowledge they have, the more powerful they are, and the more wiser decisions they can make. So I just try to give her wisdom as much as I can, and like in very subliminal ways, or, you know, we're like, let's talk about the vulva and let's talk about the anatomy of the vagina. And she's like, don't say that word. I'm like, well, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, let's call it for what it is. Let's name the body parts. Let's know the body parts and their functions. And again, and that helps them connect with their sexuality. Mm-hmm. And I just feel that we need to really teach women, or young girls, especially that age group, about their reproductive systems and how their period affects them emotionally, physically, psychologically, mentally, right? Mm-hmm. That's one of the things why, or one of the main reasons why I really fell in love with the Red Tent and why I'm facilitating them now in my private home here in Florida. And my daughter participates because she has her period. So with the Red Tent, you get initiated the minute you get your period, you get welcomed into the Red Tent, which is like a sacred.
I've never heard of this.
So the Red Tent is an ancient women's tradition. When women did, you know, thousands of years ago, they would gather around every new moon around their menstrual cycle, and they would bleed together, and they would retreat from their communities, and they wouldn't work, they wouldn't cook, they would just retreat and rest and gather with other women who have also already had their period. And it's like a moon lodge. It's just like a tent where only women were allowed that were already initiated with their menstrual cycle. And they would learn about womanhood. They would learn about, you know, the ancient traditions and mystical side of womanhood, and learn about their menstrual cycles and how it affects them, learn about different phases of the moon and how we're connected to it menstrually. We would just pamper, share stories, share our dreams, interpret our dreams, and, you know, share our darkest phases, you know, like share what we're going through, be vulnerable, be raw, and have the support of women, sisterhood, to hold each other during that time when the women are the most sensitive, the most triggered, and most easily, you know, just we're very vulnerable. We're literally bleeding, we're shedding, we're cleansing. And that is a time when we're supposed to retreat and really honor that time. And the best is with other women that are hopefully like-minded, and, you know, you're just there of support, and then also supporting you in your journey of motherhood so that you're not alone, because we're not meant to do this alone. So that's why I really truly recommend women, especially who are trying to have children, is to find a community. You need a community of women and wise women that can support you during all of your different phases as a mother, because they're challenging. And when you have somebody who's already has a mother, I mean, a child of a teenager, she's going to pass down that wisdom to you. Mm-hmm. And then when my daughter, now she's at that phase where she rejects me, she doesn't want to be like me, she defies me. That's just natural, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when I need other women, right, to talk to her, because she will listen to a stranger more than to me. But I'd rather her listen to a woman that I have a friendship with, that I can talk to, and she will confide in me and tell me, hey, this is what your daughter told me, this is what's going on, just wanted you to know. Like, it's important for you to have that, because she's not always going to come to you. Your children are not always going to see you as the one and only source, and you shouldn't be either. So that's what it's there for. It's just to support your whole like womanhood journey, and especially motherhood.
Wow, that sounds incredible. I'm not familiar with that, but
these are the things that this is what we're talking about. Like, this is the feminine being suppressed, because we're not giving the space or container to be feminine. We're not honoring the feminine in our workspaces, in our society, in our culture, you know. And I'm really on this soul mission to bring back those ancient traditions that were of, you know, benefit to the women, and to strengthen the women and empower them.
That is so interesting, just thinking about my life experience, and, you know, since I was a teenager and having to get up, even though your period started and you're cramping and you can't stand up straight. I know we want to eliminate the cramps, but, you know, I just remember at the time feeling that way and feeling like I have to go to work. I have to go to work. I have to push through. And it just feels so much more beautiful what you're talking about, that we actually used to be supported, and that the community and would understand that that's what we're going through. And nowadays you can't call your boss and say that.
Yeah, no, you can't.
It's also said, I've heard that a child when it's born is carrying three generations.
Yes.
How could we change the future by doing this pelvic care, this pelvic womb work now before we bring in the next baby in?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, this is the home that they're going to be living in the next 9 months or so average, mm-hmm. right? So how can we make the home the most coziest, loving yes. space? That's the way I see it.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Is there anything else that you would like to share with women that you think we can do just to nourish our womb and prepare ourselves for what we're going into and transitioning into motherhood?
I think that if I could tell you one thing, the most important thing, it would be that to start preparing your community, your support mm-hmm. system. That to me is so vital for women who are looking to conceive, because if you feel supported, mm-hmm. it's like, I think that you're also going to be more relaxed too, right? You're going to be more at ease. The feeling of a woman being supported is everything, I feel like. And finding a local red tent, or maybe starting your own red tent. You know, you don't have to wait. If you don't find it in your community, you can be the initiator and start it. And I am going to be in the works of preparing a mini course for women who do want to start their own red tents in their local communities, and just teach them like a small little mini, you know, introduction as to, because, you know, we don't have this knowledge. It's like, what is it? Right. What do we do? You know? So that is also like in the works. There's a lot of things in the works, but facial reflexology is a powerful way to also just remove like any energetic blockages and emotional blockages in your womb space, because there are points and zones in our face that are connected through their central nervous system to our pelvic floor area, our reproductive systems. And again, just like you having that awareness, that body awareness, it does help to cultivate more self-love, more self-acceptance, and just like awareness, right? And consciousness of like, I have the ability to promote my own self-healing.
You know what I learned from you actually through the facial reflexology you teach, that may seem like the most simple thing for you, but for me, it was really shocking, is the pressure that we should actually use. And you said, if you can just feel it, you're activating your nervous system. If you can just feel that tool or that sense of the cold, what tool is that? The metal?
The magic wand.
Wand. Yeah. When you use that, and you said that just the sense of it is connecting your body to your nervous system. Mm-hmm. That was amazing to me. It seems so simple, but that actually really amazed me.
Yes, because we're not working with, you know, points like acupressure points, which is different. Those are with meridians, and we're not working with the meridians. Although it's kind of like a marriage, right? The Vietnamese and traditional Chinese medicine, but we're also using science, which is, you know, we're working with the central nervous system. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To promote balance, homeostasis, because the only way the body can heal is when it's in that parasympathetic state, that rest and digest. If you're always on a fight or fly, your body doesn't have the ability to heal. Mm-hmm. So that's what facial reflexology does. It helps to calm the nervous system and bring the body back into wholeness, back into homeostasis and balance.
And then when we do that, our bodies just know what it needs to heal.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. When we give it that calm and the nourishment, the space it needs, we don't need to know personally what needs healed. Our body knows where to go and what to mend. And
It's an intelligent system. Yeah. We just need to know, you know, the buttons to press, and that's what it is. These are tools that you can have in your back pocket, literally, at any day. You can practice this anytime, any day. I do recommend to, you know, do it for 21 to 30 days and then rest for like 7 days or 10 days, just to give your central nervous system a break. Okay. And then you can repeat the same formula or a different one after you've completed your 21 or 30 day formula or protocol.
You know, I want to go back to the red tent. One other question I have is that something I'm asking, if we support each other through our menstrual cycles, is there support through labor and delivery with that as well?
Absolutely. So I'm calling in the doula in the red tent that I host in my home. But definitely it is set up for that. You are, you know, in back, you know, I recommend to watch, it's on Netflix or I think Amazon Prime. It's called Red Tent. Mm-hmm. And that's where the women actually gave birth, was in the red tent.
Mm.
They had doulas, they had midwives, they had, you know, medicine women, you know, this is where they gained all the knowledge and they passed on the knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know this except for going through my own. No one could have probably told me other than the experience I had, but I birthed at home with a midwife and doula, and there nice. Was women, they were all women that were here. And Lord knows I love my husband, but it was the connection with these women. It really was. Mm-hmm. Even here in my own home, it made me realize exactly what you're speaking of and what you're talking about, that they're just, it really is. There's something about gathering together and supporting one another through that. I haven't experienced it through just my menstrual cycle, but I know through labor and delivery, it's really powerful to have the women there that, you know, we were made for this. Like we are so powerful. And there's just something about the power within you as a woman giving birth that you're like, you're nearly, I want to say like reigning in the, it's the wrong word, but you're kind of like also pulling from the power of the women around you. I don't know.
Yes.
Magical about it.
Yes, exactly. You are, you really truly are pulling from them. They are your source. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You're right on. Like you definitely feed off the support of sisterhood and the women that are around you around that time. Mm-hmm. And if they're strong, wise women, you're going to feel like you can do anything.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm sure there's a science to it as well. It's got to be hormonally balancing in some way. The red tents you talk about coming together and getting in cycle with the moon. And I know that's got to be balancing and all around for our hormones.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I shared about it recently in my stories. I talked a little bit about, I don't know if you saw it, but I did talk about the emotional like benefits of and psychological benefits of a woman attending the red tent. You know, these are like the secret women's businesses where they learn about community, about the sacredness of about their bodies, sexuality. But also like it provides a space to discuss like, you know, what you're going through and like not keeping things bottled up and having a safe space to express like I'm going through shit and I feel like crap. And, you know, like sometimes we need that. We're not always going to be like, oh yes, happy and, you know, positive and, you know, love and light. No, it's sometimes it's dark and messy and gritty and disgusting. And we need a space, a safe space to share those moments of, you know, vulnerability. And when we do that on a cyclical basis, we don't feel like we need to vomit or we need to, you know, keep the like things bottled up. You know, eventually when you keep something bottled up for so long, what happens, it starts to create like muddy waters, right? So that's what we're doing. It improves the energy levels, psychological well-being of a woman, knowing that, you know, she's not crazy, that other women are also going through the same cycles, right? Emotionally and physically. And and also, you know, they learn the value of honoring their bodies, you know, as physical temples, where they learn how to set personal boundaries. You know, like, I'm in my period, I'm in my moon cycle, I do not want to do anything. My daughter, like, she sets those boundaries too. She's like, Mom, because I've taught her, you know, with my own example. And she's like, I'm in my period and I don't want to do anything. Mm-hmm. And I have to respect that. Mm-hmm. I can't force her to act and perform the same as when she's not in her cycle, right?
Mm-hmm. I also think that it just sets the groundwork for in the future when oftentimes women have a difficult time saying no around other things and things that they feel like they just are supposed to say yes to. But I feel like you're just setting the groundwork now, and something that it may seem big for her at the moment, but it's obviously a much smaller feat to say, hey, mom, I just need to be left alone today. I think right. that's really setting those boundaries and giving her the power to say, hey, I can tell you no and set my boundaries here. And it's just really healthy for her to learn at that age.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's just, again, it's the identity with her own femininity as well, yes. Which is important for them to have.
Yes. It gives her identity around her own femininity. I love that you're doing that at her age. That's beautiful.
Yeah. I really get emotional when I see her like in the red tent every time, because I'm just like, oh my God, this is for the future generation. Mm-hmm. Right. That, and yeah, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. You're doing it. You know, we often look at nutrition and things that we can measure on tests. I think this magical, mystical work is just so much, just as important, if not more. I love that you've shared all this with us today. Thank you.
No, my pleasure. Thank you for having me and allowing me to share this very important wisdom and knowledge.
Mm-hmm. I know personally, I follow you on Instagram and you post amazing stories, just going mm-hmm. deeper into this and definitely teaching how women can use the tools that you sell through Wild Lily Organics, how they can use those, how they mm-hmm. connect with their body in using those. So I will definitely link to your Instagram here.
Yes. So there are two things that I would like to offer to the audience. So the code is WILD15, and that is for 15% off all the online products and workshops that I offer. So that's including, like, I have the pelvic flow workshop, which is really goes in detail on how to promote balance and healing in the female reproductive system and pelvic floor area, to balance hormones, to help with PMS, to help with PCOS, to help with infertility, you name it, anything regarding the female reproductive system. Mm-hmm. And then I also have a membership, online membership, where I offer more in-depth practices and rituals on how to honor the feminine. And so you can try it free for 7 days. Mm. And get to know the community, get to know what I offer in there. And if this is something that you feel called to try and learn and see what it's about, if it calls you.
That's amazing. I'm so excited for everyone to jump into that. I will link that on the page here where you're listening to this interview, and as well as in the daily email that you received about Lily and where you access this today. Thank you so much for joining me. I've loved chatting with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for listening.